As we've discussed, the entire 40 days of Lent is to prepare the catechumens for baptism. The Gospel readings are so ordered that when we come to Holy Week now in preparation for our baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist, we hear about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. And we hear about His judgment, having found Jerusalem wanting. You know about the fig tree. It seems a little strange. Jesus comes to a fig tree. There's no fruit there. And He curses the fig tree. Not very nice. What's going on there? This is a prophetic act. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke, thus says the Lord, and then they did things as well, as signs. Jeremiah took a vase, God told him to do this, and smashed it against the wall of Jerusalem as a sign of what was going to happen when the Babylonians came to the city. It would be shattered. Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He came to the temple. He found it with no fruit. The next morning, He had spent the night in Bethany on the other side of the Mount of Olives. The next morning He comes out of over the Mount of Olives, drops down into the Kidron Valley, and He sees a fig tree there. No fruit. It's breakfast. And He curses the fig tree, and it withers. And His disciples say, "Master, behold the fig tree." And He says, "If you have faith, I say to you, you could say to this very mountain," which is Jerusalem standing in front of Him, "be cast into the sea," which in the prophetic books is a reference to the Gentiles. "It would take place," He says. And of course, we spoke last night about that prophecy of the coming destruction of Jerusalem. But why is that important for the catechumens? Centuries after Jesus did these things. Why is it important for us today? Why are we here 2,000 years later reading this? Because early on the church saw that the education of the catechumens was also helpful for the education of the faithful. Aren't we always in need of being recatechized? I don't know about you, but daily I need to be recatechized. I need to relearn the faith. And so very early on, the church realized the value of the education being given to the catechumens. And so the faithful started to attend the services and the educational program and the anointings and all of this with the catechumens to prepare for a renewal of their baptism, along with the catechumens who were preparing to be baptized. So why is this reading important for the catechumens? Why is it important for us reliving the life of the catechumen now? Because the catechumen has been given much. Over 40 days, the catechumen has learned the faith, has heard how God created the world in Genesis 1, how He called Abraham, how He brought Israel out of Egypt and gave them the promised land. And what did they do with what they received? God had called Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, so that through his seed all the nations could be blessed. For all of the children of Adam are the children of God. This was why God called Abraham. Not to save the descendants of Abraham, but so that through the descendants of Abraham, he could save all mankind. He called Abraham. He called Moses. He called Samuel. He calls you. He calls each one of us. Not only for our own relationship with Him, but so that through our relationship with Him, those around us can be saved. God is not a Calvinist. God calls man so that all may be saved. As St. Paul said, God desires the salvation of all mankind. And yet we know, tragically, as we just heard in the parables, not all will be saved. Why? Because God is not a Calvinist. He will not force His will. He will not force His relationship, His love, on anyone. Because what kind of relationship of love is that? And so we have a choice. We have a choice. God is the author of our salvation, but we are the paper. We have a choice. Will we participate in that? And so the catechumens have been hearing for 40 days about what God did for Israel. And will they be like the Jews? After 40 days, like the Jews after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, will they reject the faith? Will they refuse to go into the promised land? Will they refuse to cross the Jordan with Jesus, Joshua? It's the same name, right? In their baptism? Imagine the test, the temptation upon the catechumens, living in this pagan world, choosing to join this strange religion called the Christians. And how Satan, like Pharaoh of old, would rush with all of his power, as St. Cyril Jerusalem says, to stop those catechumens from entering into that baptismal font. Like Pharaoh trying to stop Israel from crossing the Red Sea. And so we hear in this week about how Christ came to Jerusalem. He came to the people of God who had been given everything. And what did they do with it? He found the tree without fruit. He found Jerusalem without its fruit, like that fig tree. And so he cursed it. And as we talked about last night, 40 days later, it was destroyed. 40 years later. And so for the catechumen, will the catechumen use what they've received? Will they enter into the promised land? And once having entered into the promised land, into the church, will they live like Israel of old? Or will they live as they were supposed to live, as Israel was? Children of God. And through them, then, the nations around them, the neighborhood, everyone in that pagan world would be converted. That was the original plan. Any catechumens here tonight? No? But we all constantly are in need of recatechizing, right? And so we too can learn from the catechumens, from the lesson of St. Cyril of Jerusalem. We can learn from the life of these catechumens and what the church has given us. As we've relived the life of the catechumen for 40 days, as we've fasted, we've been anointed, we prayed, we prepared. And now we hear in Holy Week, like the catechumen, what will we do with what we've been given? What are we doing now with what we've been given? Does the man at the desk next to you at work know that you are a Christian first and foremost above all things? Does he know that when you eat, first you pray? Does he know that if he has a question about God, when he has trials in his own life, does he know he might be able to come to you for some help or insight? Or does he see you as just one of the other employees? What about in school? Does your friend in school, the circle of friends, do they know that you are first and foremost a Christian? Or do you kind of just blend into the rest of the kids? Are you like Israel, who was called from Egypt, baptized in the Red Sea, received the manna and the water from the rock, right? The spiritual food and drink, as St. Paul says. And then went off and became again like the nations from which they were called. As you know, those 40 years in the wilderness, they fell back over and over into pagan polytheism. Are we like that? What have we done with our baptismal grace? What have we done with the chrismation we received? What have we done with the reception of the body and blood of Jesus in this world in which we live? And so the church presents for us, not just for the catechumens, but for all of us, this opportunity for meditation. Are we like sheep, or are we like the goats? What does the sheep do? Sheep follow. Any of you have ever shepherded sheep, you know that you just walk by them and they start following you. Okay? They are naturally a herding animal. You won't typically see a sheep all by itself out on a hill. You'll see them in groups. They stay together, and anything that moves, they follow it. It's part of their instinct. Do we follow the shepherd? Or are we like a goat? Goats are solitary animals for the most part. You might see them in groups here and there, like deer here in California. You'll see a deer out there by itself. Occasionally during breeding season, they'll be in groups. But for the most part, deer do not stay in herds. Like a goat. They don't follow. Are we like the goat? Or are we like the sheep when the shepherd walks by? Are we like the man who was given talents, and then with those talents of gold, these are weights of gold, produced more for the Lord and for the kingdom? Or are we like the foolish servant who was given one little talent, just one, to manage, to care for, and did nothing with it? Which one are we? If we find, as we look in the mirror, as I know I do, that we are a goat, that I have received from the Lord something and I have had nothing with it, when He calls, do I follow Him? No. And so what I need to do, and what we all need to do during this Lenten season, especially during this time of Holy Week, is to remember the Bridegroom. Remember the Bridegroom. Remember what He has done for us. Remember what He has done for the world, so that we may enter back into His kingdom, back into the Garden of Eden, back into the presence of God when He comes again. God's plan was to dwell with man for all eternity here on earth, and His plan will not be thwarted. And when He returns, He will replant the Garden of Eden, and the sheep and the faithful servants will enter therein. Glory be to Jesus Christ.